From WIPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Baltimore's Civilian Review Board aims to provide a check on police misconduct by allowing citizen representatives to review the public's complaints against police. The Justice Department's recent report noted the board's lack of resources, but Director Keisha Brown is working hard to gain public trust.
There's a concerted effort on our part to make sure the word is out there, that we are an active and viable agency ready to work on behalf of the people of this city.
We'll hear how the Civilian Review Board is changing and the obstacles in its path to reform. That's on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. On the Record with deep thanks for everyone who contributed to WYPR's fund drive. We couldn't do anything we do here without your support. We're very grateful. Now, today's topic, Baltimore's Civilian Review Board provides a check on police misconduct by naming citizen representatives to investigate and review complaints from the public. Under the board's purview are allegations of excessive force, abusive language, harassment, false arrest, and false imprisonment. The board was established in 1999. As the city's police department negotiates a consent decree with the U.S. Justice Department, solutions to increase accountability and transparency are coming from several quarters. The police department says it's... The police department says it's developing a way to post disciplinary data online, including use of force and other civilian complaints. The General Assembly passed a law permitting civilians to serve on internal police trial boards. Now, the Democratic candidate for mayor of Baltimore, State Senator Kathy Pugh, wants that law to be amended so police unions, like the one in Baltimore, would not be able to block citizens from serving on those boards. Today, we want to discuss the power and the goals of Baltimore's Civilian Review Board, the only independent agency authorized to investigate the police for misconduct. Keisha Allen joins us by phone. Keisha Allen chairs the Civilian Review Board. This is her third year on the board. Keisha Allen is also president of the Westport Neighborhood Association. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
I want to talk about the Department of Justice review, which was, of course, quite critical of the police department. Among the many criticisms the Department of Justice leveled in August against the Baltimore Police Department, it said that it lacks adequate civilian oversight. Quote, the board's role has been diminished by severely limited investigative resources, inconsistent complaint referrals from BPD, Baltimore Police Department, and the city's failure to fill the board's seats. Close quote. So, Keisha Allen, you have served on the board for 3 years. You're chairing it now. What was your reaction to those words of criticism?
Well, it came to no surprise to me, as well as probably most city residents, especially if they've been impacted or been victimized or complained on police before. It's really no surprise. In terms of the oversight and things like that, we're at the mercy of the police with a lot of things. I mean, we spend hours reviewing cases, being a voice to citizens, but I think one of the things is people like to say we don't have any teeth. In a lot of cases, we are bound by the Bill of Rights, the, you know, Law Enforcement Bill of Rights, and as well as getting cases timely. So, I mean, it's really no surprise.
So you said you feel at the mercy of the police department in terms of how efficiently your board can function. You've been on the board for 3 years. Tell me what changes you have seen.
I would say that the biggest changes I've seen is staffing. You know, when I started 3 years ago, it was right after several members had left. Most of them had been on the board since 99. So you figure I started in 2013. A lot of them had already been on the board for 15 years. Their terms had long expired. So they were, I guess, frustrated. At that time, there was one investigator reviewing many cases. Some of them were several years old, trying to match them up with what the police provided, or did the police even provide us what was put on the civilian review form? You know, just a lot of backlog, administratively speaking. Of course, we're volunteers. We work full-time jobs, but staffing in the office, you know, they have one investigator when they very well needed three or four. So now we have, I believe it's four investigators. Ms. Brown was able to expand her budget. So now they're able to get through cases, start investigating them a lot faster. They have more manpower. There's an administrative assistant. You know, there's things that every other city agency has that this office did not. So that was another problem. But I see that's a huge improvement, I would say, in the 3 years, and slowly being able to get members to join.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with Keisha Allen, who is chair of the Civilian Review Board of Baltimore City. And joining us now is Keisha Brown. She's director of Baltimore's Office of Civil Rights and Wage Enforcement, which oversees the Civilian Review Board. Keisha Brown, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We were just talking about the staffing of the Civilian Review Board and that it's increased a great deal recently. Let me make sure I'm straight. It used to be what, and now it's what?
We have two investigators, a supervisor, as well as a mediation coordinator.
So how does that compare to where you were? Well, you started
February of 2015.
So how does it compare?
When I started, there was just one investigator.
And does that solve a lot of the Civilian Review Board's problems, or is there still
it's
a lot
facing you?
It's
definitely an important first step. Upon going to the mayor about the severe lack of resources, she immediately went into action, and we received money through a supplemental budget from last year, and then received additional funding for this new fiscal year, which began July 1st.
What are the other top priorities that the Civilian Review Board has to face right now?
Well, we're undergoing quite a number of changes. My vision is for this office to be the independent agency regarding investigating police misconduct in Baltimore City. We are the only authorized agency to do so, not just for excessive force, but also for false arrests, false imprisonment, harassment, and abusive language.
And not just for the Baltimore City Police Department, but for some other smaller departments in the city, too, right?
That's right. So in addition to the Baltimore City Police Department, we oversee or have jurisdiction over the school police, the sheriff's office, the watershed police, as well as the police forces of both Baltimore City Community College and Morgan State University. So we have quite a broad area of jurisdiction in comparison to other civilian review boards around the country. And so in addition to staffing up and reaffirming our internal processes, we are continuing to work with the Baltimore City Police Department, which, as you can imagine, is the largest police force operating in the city and the ninth in the country, to ensure that our protocols and processes between the two of us are on point.
So, Keisha Allen, let me ask you, why is rigorous civilian oversight important?
It provides a voice. You know, we're citizens just like the people who complain or who have been victimized. It, you know, allows transparency, other eyes looking at it other than the police. So we could take a look and see, you know, what we can recommend. It's just another set of eyes. I would say an unbiased, group of citizens, just like the ones who are complainers.
Keisha Brown, I read a minute ago a quotation from the Department of Justice's review of the police department that was issued in August that mentioned three limitations. One we've addressed, investigative resources seems to be on the way up. The Department of Justice also said that the board is limited by inconsistent complaint referrals from the Baltimore Police Department and by the city's failure to fill the board seats. On that last one, filling the board seats, where do things stand?
The mayor has continuously, since I've been the director, been bringing on new board members, making sure that they are individuals who represent their respective district and who are committed to spending the time that's necessary to be a board member, are willing to be unbiased and thoughtful in this process. Currently, there are board vacancies, but this late in the year, it is most prudent to allow the new board members to be brought on by the new mayor.
Keisha Allen, you and everyone on the board, I understand it represents a particular part of the city, a particular police district. You're from the Southern District.
Correct.
How much of a limitation is it to you, trying to run a meeting and trying to make things, investigations happen, to have vacancies on the board?
We have enough to make a quorum. I mean, of course, ideally, we like all 9 seats filled, but it's not that bad. It does not impact us voting on cases or making recommendations.
Okay, so I want to move then to that other deficiency cited by the Department of Justice, that is inconsistent complaint referrals from the Baltimore Police Department. The Baltimore Sun reported that from 2013 through last year, Baltimore police forwarded only about 1/3 of the police misconduct cases that the board is charged with reviewing. Keisha Brown, how do you know whether you are, well, first of all, is that changing?
Yes. So it takes dedication and commitment by myself, as well as the police commissioner under the leadership of the mayor, to ensure that the Civilian Review Board, which is supposed to be an independent agency and checks and balances, receives the cases that it's authorized to receive as mandated under law. And so it's a work in progress at this point to ensure that we're receiving those complaints. We have open dialogue with the police department and support from City Hall in order to make sure that the different types of cases that the police receive, whether it's over the phone, whether it's a walk-in, whether it's online or any other format, that is properly documented and thus forwarded directly to us. I always encourage members of the public, when finding themselves in an unfortunate situation where they need to file a complaint, to feel free to come directly to our offices. We're located at 7 East Redwood Street, downtown on the corner of Redwood and Light Street. Our office hours are 8:30 to 4:30. They can call us at 410-396-3151.
410-396-3151.
They can go to our website, www.civilrights.baltimorecity.gov. And so there's a concerted effort on our part to make sure the word is out there, that we are an active and viable agency ready to work on behalf of the people of this city. And so we want to make sure that people know that we're here and where we are.
But how do you know if you're actually getting complaints that have been filed with the police department that should also be coming to you, since apparently for a long time you were not?
Yeah, we're in the process of undergoing different ways of assuring that we're receiving those complete lists. So whether that's BPD sending us their entire complaint inventory monthly, or whether it's receiving so that we can cross-check it and then identify potential cases that we haven't received. So I don't want to go into too much as far as what the exact process is, because part of that is still being tweaked. And so I want to make sure that I'm relaying that information correctly.
Okay, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to ask you both about the process of complaining and who does it and what motivates them. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We'll be right back with more discussion of Baltimore Civilian Review Board.
On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about Baltimore Civilian Review Board. It provides a check on police misconduct with citizen representatives, volunteers who investigate and review complaints from the public. The board can look at allegations of excessive force, abusive language, harassment, false arrest, and false imprisonment. With me is Keisha Allen. She's joining us by phone. She's chair of the Civilian Review Board. She's in her third year on the board. And here with me in the studio is Keisha Brown, director of Baltimore City's Office of Civil Rights and Wage Enforcement, which oversees the Civilian Review Board. We were talking about complaints. Obviously, that's the heart of what you do. Keisha Allen, tell me, who tends to complain? Who tends to think a complaint is worth filing?
Anyone from teenagers through senior citizens. if I had to make up a number off the top of my head, the average age could be anywhere from maybe 25 to 40, but it's not uncommon for me to see someone who is 60, 70 years old, or even because we have school police is one of them, you know, it's common to see a teenager.
And Keisha Brown, when I read about what I have read about the process of filing a complaint struck me as cumbersome. Tell me what's involved in filing a complaint.
So by state law, a complaint must be notarized in order for the Civilian Review Board to process it. That's something that the mayor put as a part of her legislative package this past legislative session earlier this year that unfortunately died in the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, although it passed unanimously out of the full House.
The mayor had proposed eliminating that requirement.
Eliminating that requirement in addition to other changes of that law. We find that the notarization requirement is cumbersome. It's unnecessary. It's something that, quite frankly, we don't require for most state documents. You'll find that most state documents don't require for you to go and get a notary in order for it to be received or processed. So we feel like it's outdated and it's necessary for its removal. In spite of that hurdle, we have two notaries on site at our office in order to facilitate that process as much as possible.
What else is involved in filing a complaint?
When you come to our office, that's it. You're just filling out a form that basically you're providing some background information about what happened. If you remember or know the officer's name or their badge number, or even just describing them, that's enough. You don't have to be able to prove your own case when you file that complaint. I always say that's the job of the investigators on our staff to do. So we try to alleviate any burden around fact-finding on the front end by complainants by allowing that to be the job of the investigators on the back end.
And Keisha Allen, walk us through then, when a complaint comes to the board, the Civilian Review Board, how does it investigate?
So we're looking for, you know, making sure it falls in criteria. Is it one of the four that we mentioned? Harassment, false arrest, false imprisonment, abusive language. We're making sure it happened in Baltimore City. Every now and again, we get cases that are from somewhere else, making sure it's complete. And we read it. And we have two ways that we kind of track this. We can have it where it immediately goes to our investigator, where we can do a simultaneous investigation with, say, internal affairs, or we can wait for internal affairs finding. More often, we do a simultaneous investigation while internal affairs is doing theirs. And then there's the waiting game. So at this point, you know, it can take months because it is an investigation to get back and get the completed case. And then we read it. It's a lot of reading, but it's a lot of critical thinking, and it's like a mystery. You're trying to learn everything and make sure you understand everything. You know, what did the witnesses have to say? Are there witnesses? Things like that. And then we determine, do we want to sustain it, which means we believe it happened? Do we want to not sustain it, like we don't have proof that it happened? Do we want to exonerate it? We don't believe it happened at all. We have to rule on the finding. And then what happens when we meet once a month, we determine all of our votes and majority rules, essentially. We all don't have to agree, like, say, a jury, but if the majority finds that we don't believe it happened or we believe it happened, things like that, then that's how we vote and that's how we rule. And the complainant is notified. If it's a case where we truly believe it happened, and then we send a written letter to the commissioner, if it's the Baltimore City Police Department, but if it's another head from the other police departments, we send a letter as well.
So, Keisha Brown, help me understand then, if a complaint was filed originally with the department and forwarded to you because it's one of the categories where the Civilian Review Board has standing to look at it, is the police department doing its own investigation of that complaint at the same time the Civilian Review Board is?
You're exactly right. So for all complaints received by BPD, it is their policy to conduct an investigation. And so regardless of whether the CRB determines that an independent investigation needs to occur, BPD runs an investigation and we receive that investigatory report as well as our own for the board to review.
And so it's quite possible there are two different conclusions.
Yes.
What happens in that case?
Yeah, so the ultimate decision-making, by the way the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights is drafted, as well as our own state statute, that the final decision remains with the police commissioner. So the police commissioner, by law, is supposed to review and consider the Civilian Review Board recommendation prior to making any final decision on discipline for an officer who has an allegation against him or her.
Keisha Allen, I know I have to let you go in a minute, but before I do that, can you give us an example of a case the board reviewed that you think really underscores the fractured relationship we're hearing so much about between citizens and police?
Definitely. I think the one thing we see happen or occur over and over again is, let's just say I'm sitting in my car, maybe I'm at my cousin's house, and we're just talking, the police rolls up alongside of you. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, I smell weed. The usual. Or they look for something that could be probable cause, something that invites that. And then, of course, naturally, if you're doing nothing and police come out of nowhere and, is thinking you're doing something, you get upset. Then that becomes, you're disobedient. Sometimes it ends up the person getting arrested. Sometimes they just get a ticket, but they're still upset and they complain. I just feel like a lot of the cases start from very silly, petty reasons that really aren't worth bothering people. And when we have as many murders as we have in the city, as bad as drugs is, we've had, you have innocent people killed, being robbed. Someone who's jaywalking really shouldn't be your target. I'm not saying that you should jaywalk, but I feel like a lot of energy is put into what they consider is low-hanging fruit. And low-hanging fruit could be your grandmom who's jaywalking, who's now complaining at the Civilian Review Board. It could be, just an officer jumping out and thinking you have drugs, and they're doing an illegal search and seizure on someone's teenager. So, and there's nothing. So, like I said, it just seems like they just start from the most trivial, petty reasons.
Keisha Allen, I really appreciate you giving us this insight into the Civilian Review Board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Keisha Allen is chair of the Civilian Review Board. She represents the Southern District and has for 3 years represented that district on the board. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Keisha Brown is still with me. Listening to Keisha Allen describe that kind of a case reminds me that some complaints can go to mediation. Tell me about that process.
Yeah, our mediation program really was born out of the idea that some complaints may best be suited through conversation as opposed to a full-on investigation. Sometimes creating and mending relationships can best happen through dialogue. And so we worked with Community Mediation Baltimore, as well as the Baltimore City Police Department and the FOP, to create a program that would allow for officers and the complainant, the officer in question, the complainant, to have an opportunity to have that dialogue, a facilitated dialogue by two mediators who were neutral, and it would take place in a local neighborhood center or establishment. And so we're hopeful that that program really begins to take off as we begin to coordinate those types of complaints that are appropriate for mediation and making sure that those complaints that come in are categorized as such.
And is it the choice of the complainant whether to go that route or a more traditional complaint?
So we first, if the complainant gives indication that they would be open to mediation, because everybody doesn't necessarily know or understand what the mediation process is, we go to the officer first. And we ask the officer if he or she would be interested in mediation. If the officer says yes, then we go to the complainant and ask the complainant if he or she would be interested. And the reason why is we don't want to go to the complainant say, yes, I'm willing to have this dialogue, and the officer say no. That almost presents itself as like a double whammy for that complainant as far as being further rejected by that law enforcement official. And so standard procedure is to go first to the officer and then the complainant and then schedule it in a neutral manner through Community Mediation Baltimore.
You mentioned a minute ago the police union. The Fraternal Order of Police filed a lawsuit a few months ago to prevent internal affairs records from being released to the review board, arguing that such release violates the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights. How important are those records to the work of the Civilian Review Board?
We think that the FOP's lawsuit is frivolous unfortunately, not everyone is prepared or accepting of change. And change is here in Baltimore, and we're moving forward with change, with progress, with true civilian oversight, as is mandated by law. So the FOP, unfortunately, thought it wise and prudent use of their time to file a lawsuit as opposed to doing the real work, which is reaching out, continuing dialogue, and making sure that the men and women who wear the uniform are deserving of such an honor.
Keisha Brown, I really appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Keisha Brown is director of Baltimore City's Office of Civil Rights and Wage Enforcement, which oversees the Civilian Review Board. We also spoke with Keisha Allen, the chair of the Civilian Review Board. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Kast.